This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. Republicans in the House of Representatives on Thursday passed two harsh anti-immigrant bills at the urging of Donald Trump. One of the bills is named Kate's Law after Catherine Steinle, a young white American woman who was killed in San Francisco in 2015 after a bullet fired from a stolen gun ricocheted off the sidewalk and struck her in the back. The man accused of shooting the gun happened to be an undocumented immigrant, and Steinle's case became the focus of Trump's anti-immigrant rants during his presidential campaign. The second bill that the House passed also took aim at one of Trump's favored targets, sanctuary cities. That bill is called No Sanctuary for Criminals and expands the definition of federal funds that cities use that using the label sanctuary could lose. It remains to be seen if the Senate will pass these bills. My guest is Heidi Altman. She is the Director of Policy at the National Immigrant Justice Center. Welcome to the program, Heidi.
Sonali, it's a pleasure. Thanks for shining a light on these issues.
Yeah, and you know, you say shining a light because it hasn't gotten that much attention. These bills came to the fore very quickly, were passed with very little discussion. Trump, of course, was quite happy to see them pass because both of these specifically fulfilled the promises he made to his base to target immigrants. Why didn't it get more attention?
Well, so part of it is, I think you're right that it was fast, and it was ironic to me, or maybe ironic isn't the right word, but it was happening at the same time that we saw the same sort of procedural shenanigans happening with the Health Care Act. So these bills were introduced and then they were rushed to the floor of the House. And so that stripped us of the opportunity to weigh in a meaningful way in markup, hearings, in any sort of normal discussion that you would see in a democracy about these kinds of important pieces of legislation. I also think there's a lot going on in our country right now, and it's giving some cover to the administration and Congress to move forward with some really cruel pieces of policy.
So what does Kate's Law actually do? Let's talk about this. Trump has made much of Americans killed by quote-unquote illegal immigrants. This is a very useful talking point for him because it helps whip up the racist and anti-immigrant forces in his base. He has met with people whose family members might have been killed by people who happen to be undocumented immigrants. Does this bill just simply serve to feed a narrative that there are huge numbers of Americans being killed by immigrants, and does that claim stand up to any kind of fact-checking?
Yes, it feeds the narrative, and no, the claim does not stand up to fact-checking. I think, I couldn't agree with you more that this is scapegoating at its worst, and it's an administration and members of Congress using individual tragedies to further a really cruel and a really damaging narrative. What happened to Kate Steinle, it was a tragedy. But what is happening here is that case and a few others are being used in a way that, I actually find very manipulative of victims to put forward an anti-immigrant agenda. So, there's been much made of the fact that there's now an overwhelming pile of evidence that there is actually no evidence of any link between immigration or citizenship status and proclivity to commit a criminal offense, right?
Isn't there a negative correlation?
There is, in fact. So we see that border communities are some of our safest communities in the United States. But instead, what Kate Steinle and her family have been used to advance is, as you said, this very nativist anti-immigrant rhetoric that is pushing through Kate's Law and then through the other bill that was passed alongside it to force community policing efforts to the side in order to sort of enlist local police into federal immigration enforcement. Mm-hmm. And that makes everybody, all of us, much less safe. It really endangers our communities.
So in a way, both of these bills address this issue of sanctuary cities, right? Because cities that do call themselves sanctuary, although that's not a technical term that means the same thing everywhere, but broadly speaking, it simply means that the local police department of that city will not be required to cooperate with federal ICE agents. And interestingly enough, the case against the accused the case around the lawsuit that Kate Steinle's family filed over her death, in that lawsuit, a judge has already dismissed the case against the sheriff's department and ICE, but allowed the case against the Bureau of Land Management to continue because apparently the gun in that case was stolen from a vehicle that was left unattended that happened to be a Bureau of Land Management vehicle. So, and the judge in that case also rejects this notion that had San Francisco not been a sanctuary city, it wouldn't have likely made much difference in this case.
Yeah, I mean that has been shown many, many times, but this case has been turned into something that it absolutely isn't. But you know, I mean, I think when you're right that there's no definition in sanctuary, and there are a whole wide range of different types of policies and laws that are called sanctuary or trust policies, and I think communities embrace them for a lot of different reasons. You know, one reason why communities embrace these types of policies is because, for ethical and moral reasons, they don't want their communities to be part of what has become a very cruel and unjust immigration detention and enforcement system. And then, you know, another reason is because law enforcement, leaders of law enforcement across the country, in a very sort of wide-ranging bipartisan consensus, have stood up and said that it is not good for our communities if any member of that community doesn't have trust in the police. And so what happens is that if you have a local jail that is regularly handing people over to ICE, then immigrants and their loved ones are not going to call 911 when they themselves are the victim of a crime. They're not going to testify when they have been the witness to a crime. And this isn't just sort of, you know, a hypothetical. This is what we're seeing happening and what law enforcement folks are standing up and reporting on across the country since this new administration has begun enacting policies that are very much in line with and parallel with what we saw in the bills that were passed last.
So the bills, the Kate's Law bill in particular, stiffens penalties for immigrants that are guilty of felony re-entry into the country. The other bill is the No Sanctuary for Criminals Act. That one increases the definition of what federal funds could be withheld from cities that use the label sanctuary. 24 Democrats joined Republicans in passing Kate's bill. I'm not sure how many joined in on the other bill, but what do you make of that? This you would think that is it that there's not enough attention on these bills, and that's why some Democrats feel like it's okay to cross over party lines, unlike, for example, how they've behaved on the health care bill?
I wish I could, you know, I wish I knew the answer. It's really disappointing, Sonali, on both bills. It's disappointing that they passed. It's disappointing that there was crossover in that way. You know, I think that there was not enough time for there to be enough, as we said at the beginning, light shone specifically on Kate's Law. Because Kate's Law, as you said, it's an enhancement. It enhances sentencing, but it's much, much more than that. You know, so one of the provisions does enhance penalties for illegal reentry, as you said, but what it does, just to pull like one provision out of the bill, it says that anyone can be punished for up to 10 years in a federal prison for illegal reentry if they had three prior misdemeanor convictions. So, you know, like at first glance, that might not sound so unreasonable, except when you sit down with it, you realize there's no statute of limitations. And you also realize that those three misdemeanors could be offenses that are attendant to a person's immigration status. So, you
Oh,
know, we
wow.
see all the, right, like we see all the time our clients are undocumented. They may have been here for 10, 15, 20 years, but because they're undocumented, they cannot get a driver's license. That leads to unlicensed driving convictions. Unfortunately, this is a huge problem. And so if you have three unlicensed driving convictions and you're deported and you come back to the United States, even planning to seek asylum here, you could face up to 10 years in prison. So, you know, the way we see this is that this legislation is hand in hand with a really coordinated effort along with the administration to paint all immigrants as criminals just by nature of their immigration status. And then that allows this administration to normalize their goal of really mass detention and deportation of immigrants.
What about the other law? Is that primarily on funding? And can it actually pass muster? The ACLU has said it's a violation of the Constitution to withhold federal funds from cities in this way.
Yeah, there's actually provisions in both these laws that we believe are pretty blatantly unconstitutional. So we would agree with that point made by the ACLU, specifically with the second bill, which I can't even bring myself to call it what it's being called because it's so false. So the forcing of localities into cooperating with law enforcement violates the 10th Amendment. And the way that the Supreme Court has looked at this is to say that, you know, it's unconstitutional for the federal government to explicitly force localities into cooperation, but it's also unconstitutional if these localities are being held at gunpoint, right, by the threat of stripping of federal funds. And that's what this bill does. But this bill actually does more than that. It also expands vastly the number of people who would be put into immigration jails and held there without any opportunity to even have an individualized determination of whether it's proper for them to be detained. So it really furthers the numbers of folks who will be held in immigration jails and will just contribute to the mass incarceration crisis we're already seeing in this country of people of color.
Doesn't one of the bills that the House passed also address the issue of the MS-13 gang, which Donald Trump has also long railed against? In his statement for the White House, he specifically cited that particular gang, which of course feeds into his narrative. And this is, you know, by all accounts, certainly a violent gang, but I understand that even the numbers of victims of this gang are overblown.
Yeah, so there's a lot of factual inaccuracies with the way that the president and Attorney General Sessions are talking about MS-13 and using MS-13 as another tool in their arsenal to criminalize migrants and immigrants in the United States. But for the most part, you know, I'd say we at NIJC, we serve a lot of unaccompanied children coming to the United States. Those children are fleeing gang violence. They're not bringing gang violence. To the extent to which our community policing forces are trying to deal with the gang problem in the United States, tying it to immigration, it makes the problem worse, not better. This is a problem very much akin to other gang problems that police throughout the United States are trying to wrap their head around. And the responses we've heard from law enforcement need to be the same responses. So I think that we really, again, undermine those localities that are making the really brave decisions to limit their cooperation with federal immigration enforcement because they know that that's better for their communities. They know it's safer for their communities, and they know that it's necessary to maintain trust between the police and the communities. So by attempting to tie MS-13 in a really false narrative to immigration, and by forcing localities into these, really inscripting them into the federal immigration machine, we're really undermining those policing forces that are trying to do the right thing and work with their communities.
So what are the odds that the Senate will take up these bills and pass them? Because there is some movement among some sectors of the Republican Party that had begun to feel that it wasn't very productive to target immigrants. I'm not sure if that will hold or these Republicans digging in their heels at the partisan climate we're in today will vote on it. What are the prospects for these actually turning into law?
Yeah. one thing I think we're all observing is that it's probably a really bad idea to make too many guesses as to what's likely to happen or not happen in our government these days. It's really hard to guess, but I think we have reason to believe that more reasonable minds will prevail in the Senate. I think, you know, at the National Immigrant Justice Center, we're going to do everything we can to hold our elected officials to that and to make sure that, you know, these bills, Kate's Law and, you know, the quote unquote No Sanctuary for Criminals Act, these are bills that in a more sort of rational, rights respecting administration would be seen as sort of fringe, nativist pieces of legislation that contribute to harmful dialogue in our society. And so I think it's just really, it's very scary that kind of legislation now is passing the House, and we have to hope that our leaders will stand strong against that kind of rhetoric in the Senate. And I think we all need to be making phone calls and repeating that call as many times as we can and really loudly.
And, you know, outside of these legislative attempts, there are so many other ways in which immigrants are being targeted using his presidential discretionary authority. Trump has basically authorized a pretty big rise in ICE raids and roundups and detentions with Jeff Sessions heading the DOJ and John Kelly's leadership of the Department of Homeland Security. We're seeing a greater expansion of immigration enforcement. And I understand that there's also a big problem at immigration courts. There's not enough judges, so people are languishing in these detention centers if they are detained. And of course, people are informed about their rights to lawyers. So you're seeing this kind of squeezing from all sides on the undocumented population. Again, with very little media coverage, right?
Completely agree. I think if there's one thread that ties together this legislation and the sort of acts that we're already seeing the administration engaging in, it's cruelty. I'll just pull two pieces out of, I think, the very compelling points that you just made, Sonali. One is, you know, what we're seeing in the immigration detention centers. I cannot overstate the tragedy and the shame that's happening inside of these immigration jails that I think very few Americans realize is happening. I actually just spent some time in a detention facility in New Mexico and saw, you know, folks who are refugees who are seeking safety here, presented themselves at the border asking for that safety, fleeing violence after having stood up in their countries as political activists. And when they were met with brutality in their home countries, they came here seeking safety, and they were not a civil detention facility, even though that's what it should be. We're also seeing deaths in detention escalating in a really frightening way. Outside of detention, as you said, the sort of rate, but also the cruelty and the nature of enforcement actions and raids is just rising. And most recently, we're all trying to wrap our heads around ICE having confirmed that they plan to initiate raids against parents and sponsors of unaccompanied children. So young kids who are so scared of the violence they're experiencing in their country that they make their way to our border and then are reunited with their parents who made the really unbelievably difficult decision to figure out a way to bring them here. And those parents are now facing not just immigration detention, potentially criminal prosecutions. And ICE has publicly to the press stood up and said, yes, we're doing this. And it's just, you know, it's incomprehensible in its cruelty and in the intentionality with which this administration is just spreading terror and fear as a formal policy.
Are progressives doing enough to draw attention to what is happening here? The people who are traditionally allies of the immigrant rights advocates and immigrant communities, or are people just kind of caught up with the healthcare debacle and overwhelmed? I mean, I'm just wondering what it will take to demand the same transparency and standards for in the issue of immigration as we have done on some other issues.
I think we can all be doing more all the time. You know, I think we've seen a great response, you know, from lawyers going into the court, the those of us who like saw the outpouring of support for refugees and immigrants at the airport, I think that continues to, I continue to draw on that for inspiration, but we can't just be in the airports, we have to be in the streets. We also have to be calling constantly elected officials. You know, I think that because of healthcare, because of some of the other, so many distractions, Russia and the investigation into interference, there's a lot that we all and those who advocate on behalf of immigrants have to keep in mind. But I think we have to remind our elected officials that they're there to protect all of us. And bills like the bills that passed last week, they make not just immigrants less safe, they make all of us less safe. And, you know, the extent to which this administration and its allies in Congress are willing to stoop so low as to pass bills that are not just cruel, but also unconstitutional to advance this anti-immigrant agenda, it's something that we need to really keep in check.
Heidi, give out a website for the National Immigrant Justice Center.
It is www.immigrantjustice.org. And you can find resources there, you can find calls to action, and we really encourage everyone who's listening to pick up the phone as frequently as you can and call your elected officials, whether it's to give them a shout out for voting no on these bills or to reprimand them for voting yes, or just to say that this is a strong reminder to stand with immigrants, to stand with all immigrants.
Heidi, thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a
My guest is Heidi Altman, Director of Policy at the National Immigrant Justice Center. And we've been talking about the two House bills on immigration that passed very swiftly last week and fulfilled some of Donald Trump's anti-immigrant issues. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.